more, so many things, so much more people saved, so much more in baptism, so much the more in witnessing and ministry and in attendance of the church. And we had a great year, and we thank God for that. And laid a foundation for, I think, this year. Last year, we were able to get people more than ever before to take on and get themselves established where I didn't have to. Many of you weren't going to church last year, and now not only are you going to church, but I don't even have to make sure you're coming to church or try to fix your life or anything or make sure you're doing right things. You're growing and you're learning and you're established and you're learning about God. And that's a great thing because it's freed me up to do a lot of other things that are very important for the cause and lay the foundation for this coming year. And we praise God for the deliverance that he has given to many of you and how he's changed your life. And how many of you, almost nobody here was here 4 years ago. And it's just a blessing to see God working in lives. And this year we're talking about, in 2010, we're laying our theme for what we'll be doing this year. And this year, the theme of this year is called to the ministry. And the theme is you have been called to the ministry. You've been called to ministry. And whether you know it or not, so now you're going to find out you have been called to the ministry. And we're going to talk about that tonight in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So these beasts, these angels have six wings, two for different things, two sets of two. And cried one unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, saying, having a live coal in his hand, and he had taken, which he had taken with a tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. Said, I got to cleanse your mouth. I got to take this hot coal and put it up on your mouth. Isaiah is in heaven right now. He's seeing a heavenly scene, and God's saying, I'm speaking to you, Isaiah. And so he touched my lips. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And that's where we want to just stop and talk about this for a while. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of it, the greatness of it. I thank you for this very profound chapter and deep chapter. And it's an amazing chapter. And we thank you for it, Lord. It's such a blessing and such an encouraging. Father, we thank you for what the power of what your word can do and what your spirit can do. And I pray tonight that your spirit would do things that we don't expect, things that are... You said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So we ask for great blessings. We ask for the supernatural and for your power tonight. And yet, Lord, we also ask you to do things above that. And we put it in your hands and ask you to fill me and speak through me now. And may your message be preached the way you want it preached tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah's taken up to heaven here, and Isaiah's so... sees the Lord like the Lord really is, high and lifted up, and God says to him, "Who's going to go for us? Somebody's got to go tell this people who is going to go and preach the gospel to them. Somebody's got to go tell them the need and their sins and stuff and such." And Lord kind of asks a question. It's funny. It's the Trinity talking to itself. He says, who shall go for us? And the Lord says in verse 8, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And Isaiah volunteers to go and be the preacher for the nation of Israel and the prophet and take the word of God there. When I was... young man, I was a new Christian. I got saved, I believe, when I was just turning 16, right in that month of July, those years ago, and however many years ago that was. And I was just a worldly kid and very sinful and very picky and distracted. I had ADD back then also, and so that means I was a boy. And but I was starting to grow as a Christian. I got saved at just turning 16. During my 16-year-old year, I started growing and reading the Bible and studying it and praying, and started going to church, and my life was beginning to change internally a lot more than it was externally. But I used to go every night and pray at the park by right next to my house. It was a good-sized park, and I used to go up the top of the park, and I would go up on the rocks, and there was a big pile of boulders, and I took several of the guys who've been down there to those boulders in that park, and I would, it was kind of set up like a recliner, my first recliner, my boulders, and I'd look towards the west, and I would see the Big Dipper going across the sky. I was always a night owl, and but then as I used to think for a couple hours a night. I like to think and be alone, and then I got saved and started praying during that time, and I would think also, but I'd pray. Eventually started witnessing to the weird people at parks at 1 in the morning, and things I used to do also. But my friend had been called to preach, Roman had, and then his brother Gabriel felt that he was called to the ministry. And I was walking up there one night, again, a baby Christian, a lot of bad things in my life, a lot of sinfulness, can of Copenhagen in my back pocket, and walking up there, and I just said, "Lord, what do you want me to do with my life?" And in my head I heard, I didn't hear audible voice anywhere, but I just heard the words over and over, "Be a preacher, be a preacher, be a preacher." And I stopped dead. I was walking at that time, walking up toward where I was going, and I said, "Are you sure?" That's a dumb question for God. I guess not. He doesn't, he knows what he wants, but, and clear, sure enough, I knew that. I've never doubted since then. I was when I was called to preach. I said, okay. I was 16, had nothing better to do with my life. I was a kid just messing around in school and messing around in everything I was doing. I didn't have any really profound plans. And that's easier to be called when you don't have any super profound plans. And I said, okay. Now, I never thought I'd be a pastor. I thought I was too much of a goofball to be a pastor, and I never thought I'd be able to be gifted enough or get in front of a crowd. I didn't like getting in front of a crowd. It scared me to death. And so I never knew that. And I was called to the ministry at that time. I was called to preach. God had everything all planned out and everything. He knew I'd be here tonight and knew where I'd be. Because God knows those things, and he can call and plan things out and work that out. And several of you in this room, you have been called to serve God in the ministry full time. God has called you. We have a shockingly high number of people who God has called to the ministry in our church. And many of you have been called. Brian feels called to evangelism. And Mark feels like God's called him to preach. And Josiah feels God's called to be in missionary to the military. And Travis feels like God's called him and Paula to the mission field. And Timothy feels called to go to Africa as a missionary. And Brookie feels called to be a missionary. And I miss anybody? Matthew feels called to the children's ministries. And Taylor feels that God has called him into the ministry. And a lot of people. And that is a call. Now, when I was called to ministry, I was not just called to be a good Christian, although every Christian is called to be a good Christian. I was called specifically to go into full-time ministry. And that's a thing very specifically talked about in the Bible. There are certain people, the Bible says, they that preach the gospel should live for the gospel. It's someone who, at their job, just like the Levites and the priests in the Old Testament, their job is actually working in the house of God and doing God's work. And the Bible specifically says they should be paid and live their entire life doing the gospel work. That is a very, very high calling. I certainly would never want to step down to do anything from that. I would not want to step down to be president of the United States from being a preacher. That would be a huge step down. I would not want to step down from being a pastor of a church and step down to being the CEO of Microsoft. That would be a huge step down, because God's called me to this. I would not want to step down to go be anything in the world, because I've been called to be God's spokesman. What a high calling that is. And it's an honor, and I didn't choose it. The Bible says a man can't choose that himself. It would be a big mistake. It's not something you just say, I'm choosing to do this. You want God's leading in your life to do that. And God called me, but at the same time, we find in the Bible that all Christians have a calling upon their life. And matter of fact, all Christians are called to the ministry. Not all Christians are called to pastor. Not all Christians are called to be an evangelist. I was not called to be an evangelist, but I'm told to do the work of an evangelist. because all Christians are called to witness. You have been called to the ministry. All of us have been called to ministry. I began in the ministry when I was 17 years old. I began to preach. I began to preach in nursing homes. That's the first place I preached. And boy, is that ever good training for the ministry. It is tough preaching in a nursing home. It's the hardest spot I've ever preached. And people passing out, people don't know what part of the service it is. It's rough preaching. And ladies jumping up in the middle of your sermon and singing Amazing Grace. And then this one over here starts snoring. And then this one over here doesn't know what time it is. And they get up and walk out. And it's very tough. And then I started preaching in jails. And when the preacher was gone, I preached the jail service and started preaching to the kids in children's church. I started winning souls. I started counseling people. When I was 17 years old, I began to do a lot of ministry work, and I really loved it. The ministry is a lot of fun. And I started a job on the side. I had an old beat-up pickup truck, and you know, I just loved the ministry work so much. I love God's work so much that I just wanted to do it all the time. So I started a little business where I could control my own schedule, and all I basically did was pay for my gas money and to buy Burgerville in between times when I never was at home so I could eat and go do God's work. And I would just, anything a church needed, I'd be there in the morning, I'd set things up, I'd type things up, I would go haul things around, I would get ready for the service next Sunday, I would record things or fix things or work on the church bus or whatever needed done. I just was constantly doing ministry work, and I'd work 15 hours a week maybe just to pay my bills, but I'd spend 40 hours a week at the church and do ministry work. And I really entered the ministry then. I was made a bus captain of a bus route and in Oregon City, and I used to go and visit the kids, same thing I do nowadays, and pick the kids up and sign people up for church and win souls and work at the families and started learning how to fix people's lives and how to use the Word of God to change lives and how to fix people who are on drugs, and started doing marital counseling at 17 and didn't know anything. And then I got married and realized I don't know a whole bunch, and I have a patient wife. And but I started doing ministry work and trying to help parents with their kids because they didn't know how to handle their kids and all that ministry work, and started leading the teenagers and preaching to the teenagers and just was having a ball. But I wasn't a pastor yet. I wasn't getting paid for anything. I remember one time I got paid for something. We bought a property. We started clearing out the property. And I was I was 18 by that time. And we had to bulldoze out the foundation of the property. And what funner thing for an 18-year-old boy than to drive a bulldozer. And so I said, hey, I'll do that. Here am I. Send me. And so I was one day driving the bulldozer around the church and plowing things out and everything. And those things don't have review mirrors. And I was backing up one day and I was getting ready to run my next line and push the dirt, just having a time in my life. Man, playing in dirt and driving a bulldozer when you're 18, that is awesome. Well, I'm backing up, and all of a sudden, bulldozer is the hardest thing I've ever driven. I've driven semis, I've driven bobcats, or I've driven forklifts, I've driven everything in the world. Hardest thing to drive is a bulldozer. It's all levers everywhere. I'm backing up, and I backed right into the little tiny shed where everything was stored, right through the sliding glass window. And you won't believe it. I bulldozed that window and it actually broke. And I went and, I went to the pastor. The pastor, I'm such an idiot. I am so sorry. I said, I shattered the window. And I felt so terrible. I said, I'll fix it. I'll pay for it. And I felt so terrible. And you know what? He was so wise. He realized I was just trying to do God's work and it was just messed up. He paid me for the work I did that day. It was the first time I ever got paid because I ran over the building. I thought, man, if I can get paid for destroying things, I can do this every day. How much will I get paid if I run over the church? Hey, can I fix your house? But that was the only time I finally got paid for anything. And, because I was just doing ministry work. I was helping people and involving the church. And, you know, ministry work is tonight when you get done, stacking up the chairs. That's ministry work. You know who used to do that? Me! You know how long it used to take my wife and I to tear everything down? We have always set up everything in this church, whether nobody was coming or one person was coming or two people was coming. And boy, you talk about putting everything away. You would not believe how long it takes to put everything out of the bookstore and every plant away and every divider and everything. We would get out of here so late at night. And, that's all ministry work. And you get to be a part of that. Praying for the people we mentioned tonight, that's ministry work. When you go pick somebody up for church, that's ministry work. That's all God's work. And everybody has been called to the ministry. And I entered the ministry at 17 years old. Now it's my full-time job. But you know, when I started the church for 4 years, I worked a full-time job while I was a pastor. Then I went part-time, and then I worked 20 and 30 hours a week for another 2 or 3 years before I went full-time doing the church here. But I was still in the ministry. If I never was a pastor, if I was not a pastor, I would still want to be in the ministry. Not necessarily preaching behind the pulpit. That's a certain calling. That's a certain gift that God gives. But to be in the ministry. Let me just tell you, everybody is called to the ministry. Everybody is called to the ministry. First of all, we see you're called by a need. You don't see God calling Isaiah here. God just says, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Everyone wants to be so spooky about a calling. It's not that spooky. If you see, if you're, here am I, send me, a volunteer work. David was never called to kill Goliath. A bunch of great acts that were done in the Bible were not done by because God said, okay, now go do this thing. It was somebody seeing a need, and because there was a need, they decided to go do that. If you're driving home from church tonight, and as you're driving home, you see flames coming out of the house, and you see a little child laying halfway out the doorway of a burning down house, you don't have to stop and say, you know what? I don't think God called me. I didn't hear God call me to pull that kid out of the house. God didn't have to call David. He put him in a situation to do something that was important. Somebody needs to ride a church. You got a car. You know about it. There's a calling. Somebody's lost, and you know how to win them to Christ. You've been called to win them to Christ. There's a giant mocking God. Nobody else will kill him. Why don't somebody go kill him? Okay, I'll go kill him. And he killed him. He killed Goliath. Fulfilling a need is a calling of God. If you see a hungry person, they're about to die of starvation, and you supersize it, and you got a bunch of food in your car, you don't have to have some supernatural, ooh, God, are you leading me to keep that person from starving to death? No. God's leading you. You have the ability to do it, and you can do it. You don't have to be called to witness to every single person by a calling from God. You've been called by the need. The ability and the knowledge of a need is call enough. I don't know who will be called tonight to clean up the chairs after church. I don't know who will be called tonight to go and put some boxes on the shuttle when we're all done. I don't know who is called tonight to go and unstack the books in the bookstore. I don't know who is called tonight when somebody is weeping to go pray for them. You don't have to get a supernatural, ethereal call that comes down and says, you are called to go pull the child out of the burning house. You have the physical ability to do it. You're there on the spot. God worked it out. God planned it out. So go do it. Don't wait for something spooky. You're called by a need. He volunteered because there was a great need, and because he did that. Many great works of the Bible were not done by somebody who were suddenly called. Peter was never called to walk on the water. He asked if he could, and God said, come. There are stories all over the Bible where people are not called but do great things because the ability is there. If I have money in my pocket and somebody says, you know what, I just drove to church today, and I don't have money to get gas money to get home, do you have any money? I don't say, you know what, let me see if God has called me to give you the extra $2 in my pocket to get home. God has opened the door. God has provided for me to help them. The ability to do it is a calling. You can be called by a need. And the need was for Goliath to be killed. The need was for somebody to go preach to Israel. God called him through a need. Number two, you are called by the word. You are called to the ministry by the word. Turn to the book of Matthew, if you have your Bibles. Matthew and chapter 10. You are called by the Bible. Well, God never called me to preach, so I'll just sit in church and watch what happens. You are missing out because you're missing the calling God has for you. Well, God never called me to preach. It doesn't matter. God called you to a whole bunch of things. He called you through his word. He told you through the word. And by the way, God does not have to lead you once he's told you to do so in his word. If I tell my children, go and pick up the table, and they say, God has not called me. I didn't feel God calling me to pick up the table. I say, God told you through his word to obey your parents. So the will of God is you do what your parents say. You've been called through the word of God. God hasn't called me to witness to anybody. Sure he did. He told you in the word to witness to people. God has not called me to love somebody. Yes, he did. He told you in the Bible to do it. Well, I've not been called to love. You were told to love in the Bible. My kids don't need a calling when I've told them to do something. When your boss, you don't say to your boss every time, "Boss, God did not call me to do that." Your boss told you to do it. The Bible says, obey your boss. You don't need to be so spooky about it. Matthew chapter 10. When the Bible tells you to do something, you just do it. It's a calling from God. God is speaking to you through his word. Matthew chapter 10. And it says, let me take you to verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Matthew chapter 10. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's rewards. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Go to 1 Peter. We got a couple of verses in 1 and 2 Peter here. Jesus was asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What did he answer? Whosoever becomes the great, wants to be the greatest among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your servant. You got to learn to serve. Go forward and go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. You know, I'll turn back there. It wasn't Matthew I was looking for, it was Mark, but we'll get back there in a sec. 1 Peter, and 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, talking to Christians in general, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you with a great calling. 2 Peter, by the way, all Christians is talking to there. 2 Peter chapter, let's see, no, let me go back. 1 Peter, again, chapter 4. Got the wrong verse written down here in a couple spots. I apologize. Let's see if I got the right one written down. Yep. Let me take you back to Mark then. Book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter, I told you it was Matthew earlier, but it's Mark chapter 10. Let me read you about being called here to minister. Mark chapter 10. Verse 43. But so shall be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life ransom for many. He says, you know what? I have come here and been your servant. Jesus Christ said, I've been your servant. And whoever wants to be the greatest among you, let him be your servant. You've been called to be the servant. The servant is a minister. He is someone who helps one another. The Bible says you've been called to love and serve one another. The Bible says that this mind be which in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant. You're supposed to take the mind of Christ and become a servant. You've been called by the word to be a servant. You've been called in the Great Commission to go witnessing. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've been called by God to love and serve one another. You've been called by God to feed the hungry. You've been called by God to reach the world. You've been called by God to pray to the Lord of the harvest. You've been called by God to go and do all the work of God. It's a calling in the Word. God says, go ye therefore. The Bible says, help the people. The Bible says, whosoever gives a drink in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Whatsoever you've done to these little ones, you've done it unto me. He says over and over, you have service to do for me. You've been called to it through the Word of God. And if you want to be the greatest, you'll be a minister, which is what a servant is. You've been called by a need. You've been called by the word to the ministry. Number three, you've been called by duty. 2 Corinthians, you've been called by duty. It's an interesting verse. I don't really... The verse before is very well known in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. But that verse afterwards is very important. You've been called by duty. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the famous verse. But verse 18, And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's the thing. If reconciliation is to make things right, if you balance books, it's getting things right with God. God reconciled you to himself. In other words, he saved you from your sin, and he made you right with him. He made you born again. He made you a new creature, as the verse 4 said. You have been saved. He made you right with God, and he brought you salvation, which made you payment for your sin equal, and now you're reconciled to God, and everything's right if you're saved. If not, then you're not. He says, now, here's this reconciliation Jesus brought to you and says, I've given it to you. You're reconciled to God. But then he says, okay, here it is. Bye. I've now given you the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus, aren't you going to go save them? He says, no, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. You go and you've been called to take it and reconcile somebody else. You have a duty to take that which was given to you and give it to somebody else, eternal life. Jesus Christ gave us eternal life through his death on the cross and burial and resurrection. And now we have to take that reconciliation. We have to take that redemption to somebody else. You've been called to do that. The preacher, you know, I am no more called to witness than you are. Amen? Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's everybody. It doesn't say go ye therefore a pastor. It doesn't say go ye therefore evangelist. We're all called to reconcile people to God. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to go take the ministry to other people. It's a duty. He has given us that ministry in witnessing. You have been called to be a minister. Minister means servant. You've been called to take and serve people by giving them the gospel. You've been called to help people by loving them. You've been called to pray for people. You've been called to go and help the needy. You've been called to lift up the fallen. You've been called to heal the brokenhearted and love people and serve and do the work of God. You have been called to the ministry. Will you ever stand behind a pulpit? Most of you never will. Some people aren't qualified. Biblically, you got to be qualified to do this, to be a pastor. But you've been called to do God's work. You've been called to speak the word of God, whether you preach behind a pulpit or not. You've been called to serve and love one another. We've all been called to the ministry. In your calling, I just want to say a few brief things about your calling, and then I want to tell you what we're doing this year. In your calling, first of all, if you go to just go forward from 2 Corinthians to the book of Ephesians, it's just a little bit farther forward. In your calling, I want to give you a few things. First of all, in your calling, walk worthy of that calling. Ephesians 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Wow, that's powerful. You have been called, as it said earlier, a holy, peculiar person, a child of God. You've been called by God to be his child. Listen, if I adopted somebody in my family, I would say, you're a Byram now. And that name is very important, and you will guard that reputation and that name. You will be honest. You'll work hard. You have a name upon you. And God says, I've called you with that holy calling to be a Christian, a little Christ. You're bearing my name. You need to go and realize it's a holy calling. And you got to walk worthy of that calling. It says that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, putting up with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. You are called. All Christians are. This is not Timothy written to a pastor. This is Ephesians written to all believers. It is a calling that you got to walk worthy of. You are called to ministry. Well, pastor, if I was a pastor, I would live different. It doesn't matter that I'm a pastor. I should live that way because I'm a Christian. You should live holy because you're representing Jesus Christ. You should be an example of the believer. You should be sweet and kind and spirit-filled and loving and share the word of God and be friendly and honest and have integrity. Why? Because you are a Christian and you're to walk worthy of your calling. Please don't go and say, I'm a Christian, I go to Open Door, but you know what? I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'm going to do this, and you're running around doing immoral things, you're not being honest in your dealings. Listen, walk worthy of your calling, which is to be a child of the King. Walk worthy of that calling. Secondly, work in the body you are called in. Work in the body you are called in. The body is a church. Verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who and above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. He says, you have been called into a body, and you should go and labor in that body, and in that body be a part of it, and working in that body. There are some pastors, and they've got a part in that body, but there's only one pastor of this church. But you've got a calling in this church, and God gave you a gift to help this church. I don't know that gift. Some of you are great prayers. Some of you are good at, you're a servant. And you want to help out and just fix things. I've been working with Robbie all the time. Every time something breaks, Robbie, I need a jump start this morning. Robbie, I need this. Listen, and Robbie has got that servant's heart. Robbie's fulfilling his calling in Open Door. Robbie doesn't. You want to get up and preach tonight? Robbie's gift's not being the pastor of this church. But you know what? I didn't have jumper cables this morning or last Sunday night. You know what? There's times I don't have a ladder here. We got to change the lights in here. That's his calling. And he can fulfill that calling in a body. But if he decides, I don't need to go to church, or I'm not going to go to church for a while, or pretty soon there'll be a hole and a big lack. And all of a sudden this leg decides it doesn't want to work, and this leg has to do a whole bunch more. Every single one of you who are part of Open Door, you have a job to do. It's important you're there. And when that arm or finger or leg or ear does not want to do its job and says, I'm not going to be part of it, I don't matter, then God gave you a gift and you're not using your gift, and you're part of a body and the body part's not doing its part. Next, in your calling, we said walk worthy of your calling, work in the body you are called in. And then 3, consume yourself in your calling. 1 Corinthians, it's backward a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, backward from Ephesians. Consume yourself in your calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Consume yourself in your calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it was first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Oh, man. I love it. The only time the Bible says you can be an addict. Don't you feel good? Those of you with... I love it. You don't have a drug problem or an alcohol problem. You have an addictive personality. Why do we just used to say, I'm doing something wrong here? Okay, you with addictive personalities. Now you know what you can be addicted to. The ministry. It says, these people are awesome, man. Salute them and tell them great job, because they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, to serving God's people. They have addicted themselves. I mean, they get the shakes when they don't get to do ministry work. I mean, they love ministry work. But you know how few people love the ministry work? Hey, can you help us clean up? Do I have to? Oh, I got stuff to do. What do you got to do? There's a game on tonight. Hey, you want to go pick somebody up for church? You know what? I just cleaned my car. You know how fun it is to serve people? You know how fun it is to win a soul to Christ? You know how fun it is to pick somebody up for church? You know how fun it is when you invite somebody to church and they get right with God? You know how fun it is to be racking up treasures in heaven while you're sweeping the floor of Open Door? You know how fun it is when you get to bring the coffee for Open Door, like the Huggins do, and feed people's addictions, and you get to bring that and be a servant, and for every little bit of coffee you give, God keeps track of it. The ministry is wonderful. You know how great it is to look. You know how great it is to look around this room and see lives who are transformed because my little part I did the ministry. sometime along the way, I put a track on Ron and Pamela's door. Brought Katrina to church. Randy was stubborn. And eventually got Randy to church and see their family transform, to see people transform, see Travis and Paula, because Brian decided to become a servant and work on his neighbors. To have some of you go away from God and just keep loving you and praying for you and being there, and pretty soon God gets a hold of your heart and you come back to church and now you're happy again, your life's going good again, rebuilding families, many giving up your addictions, having your life transformed. You know how fun that is to be in the ministry? Even going and fixing a car at night. Everything is not fun and easy, yet the reward is worth it. See, we've all been called to the ministry. Somebody needs you to serve God. Somebody needs you as a child. There's going to be some kid walking the door of the church, and the kid's going to be insecure and doesn't know how to act at church. Man, I remember the first time I went to church. I'll never forget. Matthew can tell you the year. It was the year The Empire Strikes Back came out. What year was that? 1980. Matthew needs life. 1980. And I went to my aunt and uncle's house, and they always went to church. And I went to see, because the only theater playing it, The Empire Strikes Back, was in Beaverton, Oregon. And so I went to my relative's house and said, well, if you're going to stay the night at our house and watch a movie, go to the theater, you got to go to church that's in the morning. I think I've been to church twice in my life by that time. I went to the church. Oh, man. I went to that church, and it was a Nazarene church. Oh, it was boring. It was so tough. I was not used to church. And I remember, my uncle, God bless him, nice guy. My uncle said, there's some swell kids you're going to meet at church. And here comes these kids. And I'm this rough 1980s, rough, grew up in a broken home, doing drugs since I'm in third grade kid. And here is this church, all these boy, I'm trying to be nice here. Goody two-shoes kids. They weren't me. How do I say that? And I'll never forget. This has scarred me for life. We went into class, all these goody two-shoes kids sitting around, and the Sunday school teacher says, okay, who knows the answer to this? What did Jacob wear? And this, every kid raised his hand except for me. And I was sitting there going, I don't even know what they're talking about. Who cares what a guy wore for a coat? And so we started getting dumber and dumber questions because everybody else kept answering the questions. I couldn't have told you who built the ark. I couldn't have. I couldn't have told you anything. I didn't know one thing about the Bible. And the questions are getting dumber and dumber. And the kids were kind of laughing because I didn't know any answers. You know, I'm still scarred about that. And that's what's wrong with me. And, you know, some kid comes into church and we get some rough kids. And, you know, one of you little kids, you might say, what's my job in church? Go up and make that kid feel welcome. I'm glad you're here. Hey, why don't you come sit with me? And don't be a nerd. And sit with them. Be nice. And make them feel at home. And do that stuff. And you know what? You can be a minister. Hey, you know what? The single moms in our church here help the single moms when they go up and make them feel at home and care about them. You can find a job. You can help somebody. Just being friendly and greeting people and stuff. Find a job, work in the ministry, and consume yourself. Be excited about coming to church saying, what can I do? Consume yourself in the ministry. You have been called to ministry. Well, I didn't get some heavenly vision. You've been called to minister. Just like Jesus said, I've been called, and go follow in my footsteps and be the greatest among us. What can you do for God? This year, we're going to focus on getting you in the ministry. Not preaching in the pulpit necessarily. But how about a nursing home? How about a jail ministry? How about some prayer? How about giving? How about bringing somebody to church? How about helping set up in the morning? How about cleaning the shuttle? How about signing some people up for church? You've been called to ministry. I want you to enter the ministry this year. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, as we look into the ministry, Lord, and what we're going to be doing this year, I pray that as we are called to the ministry, Lord, I pray that each one of us is into the ministry, not being spectator. Lord, your work is not a spectator sport. It's a team effort. I pray tonight we'd be faithful to our calling, faithful to our calling. And Lord, we've been called to be love and serve one another and to be servants. And being the greatest among you is your minister. That's our minister. We use that term like it's somebody behind a pulpit, but it's actually a servant. Lord, help us to be servants of all. The greatest among you is servant of all. Help us be ministers. I pray tonight that we'd be called to the ministry and get busy in that ministry of your service.